40s.
The gopi search for Krishna,
Sri Shuka
Pumbacha,
on which chant yo bhagavato, margam gopyo vidurita,
yadrisho priya vish
leishan,
mahitam dulkitam sakim.
Sukadeva Goswami said, while continuing to search out Krishna's path, the gopis discovered their unhappy friend close by. She was bewildered by separation from her lover. So, that was text 40 and 41. So now the gopis have met Radharani, and she's speaking. Sukadeva Goswami is explaining what she said. Taya katitam akaranya vana praptim chamadavat avamanam chidhuratnyad vishmayam paramam yayu. Radharani told the gopis how Madhava had given her much respect, but how she then suffered dishonor because of her misbehavior. The gopis were extremely amazed to hear this purport. It was natural for Radharani to ask Krishna to carry her. For this request was consistent with the loving mood of their relationship. Now, however, in great humility, she describes her behavior as wicked. Hearing of these affairs, the other gopis are astonished. 42. Sato vishandvaram chandra yotsna yavadibhavyate sama pravishtama lakshya sato niva vritu sriya. In search of Krishna, the gopis then entered the depths of the forest as far as the light of the moon shone. But when they found themselves engulfed in darkness, they decided to turn back. What's being described here in the purport is elaboration. The gopis entered a part of the forest. It was so dense with tree covering and foliage that even the light of the full moon could not penetrate it. This scene is also described in the Vishnu Purana. It's interesting because we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Bhagavat Purana, which is written after all the other Puranas. But we find that in the other Puranas, we find that Radharani's name is mentioned. As we were, I think we were citing the other day, when we were citing some Puranic quotes where Radharani's name is mentioned. I think from our notes, we were reciting in different Puranas her name is mentioned. So, and also the pastimes of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan are mentioned. Harivamsa Purana, the Padma Purana, Skanda Purana, Rama Vaivarta Purana, many, many Puranas, which are the most ancient literatures. And some give more details and things. So here, this scene is also described in Vishnu Purana. Pravishto Gahanam Krishna, Paramatra Nalakshite, Nivarta Dvam Chashankasya, Naita Diditi Gocharaha. One gopi said, Krishna has entered such a dark part of the forest that we cannot possibly see his footprints. Therefore, let us turn back from this area, which even the light of the moon cannot reach. So it's interesting because Krishna himself is dark color. He's Sham, Sham Varna. He's completely dark blue. So there's some meaning that is explained in some commentaries, which we have here, that Sham, he wanted to make it impossible for the gopis to find him. Because just like in some of the kunjas around Radhakund, there are different kunjas controlled by each of the sakis. So one kunj, I don't know which kunj it is, but everything in that kunj is Sham color. It's bluish, kind of like a monsoon cloud. The ground is bluish black, the tree branches, the tree trunks are bluish black, the leaves, the animals, the peacocks, the birds, the parrots. Instead of having green parrots, there's Sham-colored parrots. Everything is blackish there. And that one, in one of these private kunjas around Radhakund. So when Radharani, when her mother-in-law, Jatila, or her sister-in-law, Kutila, they come looking for her, and they come over here, and she goes in that kunj with Krishna. She sits there with Krishna right beside her. And Jatila looks in, and then she says, oh, Radharani, oh, you're just sitting alone. I thought we would catch you here with that rascal, Sham Sundar. She says, no, I'm on my way. I'm going to Surya Kund to do Surya Puja, to worship the sun god, and then I'll be right home. I just thought I would stop here by this beautiful lake and bathe with some of the sakis before we do our puja at Surya Kund, which is a few kilometers north of here. Oh, very nice. Well, I'm so happy to see you sitting there very peacefully and quietly, and you carry on with your girlfriends, no problem. So then she goes. And Shyam's right, or Krishna's right there the whole time with Radharani, but he blends completely with the background. Can't be seen. So this is, he goes into the deep forest. Because along the banks of the Yamuna, this pastime is taking place in Vrindavan forest, you know, where the Vamshivad is, Vamshivad, Yamunapuli, and Keshigat, that whole area. And so Krishna went deep into the forest, away from the Yamuna, because the Yamuna, there's the Rasastali. On the banks of the Yamuna, it's all a big open area for dancing the Rasa dance, the big platform is there. So the moonlight is just like a spotlight on the stage. It's penetrating and illuminating the whole area for the dancing, so it's wonderful. Just like now, the moon is coming full in a couple of days. So you go up on the roof or you go out, we walk around Govardhan, you can see clearly all the way around Govardhan. There's no difficulty, especially where there's an open area. You can imagine what the banks of the Yamuna are like when the full moon is shining. And the moon is so much excited and so much amazed by the dancing of Radharani and Krishna and all the gopis in the Sharad Ras, Autumn Ras dance, that he stops his movement and he fixes himself directly overhead. So his illumination is at its highest point, because the flood of light from the moon is directly overhead and shining right down, perfectly positioned. Just like if you had a stage and you put a light on the top shining down, it would illuminate the whole stage, big light. The whole Ras arena was illuminated like that. But Krishna went away from that place, dark, deep into the forest. So the combination of Krishna's form being Shyam color and blending with the darkness of the forest, and the combination with the gopis' natural fear of dark places and animals, they said, well, let's wait here in the banks of the Yamuna. So that's just describing the scenery. All the gopis are together now, Chandravali's party, Radharani's party, they're all looking for Krishna. Text 43. I think we'll finish this chapter. Tanmanas kas tara lapas tad vicheshtas tadatmika tad gunan eva ghayantyo natmangharani sam maru. Please repeat the word for word. It's a little hard to hear. It's a very busy day today. Tadmanas ka. Their mind filled with thoughts of Krishna. Chat alapa. Conversing about Krishna. Chat vicheshta. Imitating Krishna's activities. Chat atmika. Filled with Krishna's presence. Chat gunan. Krishna's qualities. Eva. Simply, Gayantya, singing, Na, not, Atma, their own, Agarani, home, Sasmaru, remembered, translation. Their minds absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, they conversed about him and acted out his pastime and felt themselves filled with his presence. They completely forgot about their home as they loudly sang the glories of Krishna's transcendental qualities. Purport. Actually, there is no separation from Krishna for the pure devotees of the Lord. Although apparently abandoned by Krishna, the gopis were actually tightly connected to him by the spiritual process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So, we can see that there are different intensities or expressions of the limbs of bhakti, Navavidhi bhakti, the nine limbs of bhakti. The nine limbs of bhakti are practiced by the beginner, even from the beginning of human life. Prahlad Maharaj, who spoke the principles of bhakti in the Bhagavatam, seventh canto, he said, Komarat Acharat Pragyo, Dharman Bhagavatam Iha. He says, from the beginning of life, from the age of 5 years old, one should practice dharma. What is that dharma? Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam parasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam. One should hear about the Lord, chant about the Lord, remember and serve the lotus feet of the Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj is explaining in the seventh canto that in human life, we should serve the Lord. Dharma, Bhagavad dharma. Bhagavad dharma means serving Krishna. Well, how do you serve God? Well, how do you do it? I don't know how to do it. Well, here's how you do it. You hear about him, you read books about him, Shravanam Kirtanam, you sing about him, you glorify him, you praise him, you make music for him. And then you remember him throughout the day, and when you're resting and awake and at all times and all places, you remember the Lord, serve his lotus feet, visit his temples, visit his holy dhams, do dandavat parikramas of Radha Kunda, it's all part of sevanam. And you worship the Lord Arjuna in so many ways. So that's for human beings, beginning at 5 years old. So it's called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Navavedi Bhakti, the nine limbs of bhakti. So we find that that's being practiced even by human beings, by 5-year-old children, 6-year-old children, etc., and by young adults, and by old adults, and by everyone. And now we see that's here in this world. In the material world, people are practicing Navavedi Bhakti, the nine limbs of bhakti, in order to elevate their consciousness, purify their soul, and liberate themselves, go back to the spiritual world. But here we find description of the spiritual world. The most advanced devotees of the Lord, the gopis of Vrindavan and Radharani, what are they doing? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam. They're not doing Vishnu Smaranam, they're doing Sham Smaranam. Sham Smaranam, remembering Sham. They don't care about Vishnu. When they met Krishna, when he disguised himself with Chaturbhuj Rupa with 4 arms, tried to bewilder them, they just said, oh, namaste. They didn't care to remember him, they didn't care to do any puja or archanam or kirtan. They just said, namaste, Vishnu. Vishnu, have you seen Sham pass this way? And then the 4 arms went like this. He went that way. You know, but then when Radharani came, then he couldn't maintain this Vishnu Rupa. The gopis are doing Vishnu, they're doing Krishna Smaranam. Krishna Smaranam Mama. Just like the, Vallabha? Vallabhacharyas in Gujarat. When they visit Nashik, that's their deity in Udaipur, they have it on the neon sign. It says Krishna Sharanam. No, Krishna Sharanam Mama. May you always take shelter of Krishna. So, this is interesting because what we're doing, so below, so above, what we're doing here in the conditioned state is also going on in the fully liberated state by the greatest devotees of the Lord, remembering the Lord. So Krishna sometimes is separated from the gopis, so they're thinking of him, they're remembering him. So what is our position? Krishna's always separated from us. We're always in the mood of separation. So how do you actually meet Krishna when you're separated from him? So that's what the gopis are saying. This purport says, although they apparently were abandoned by Krishna, they were actually tightly connected to him by the spiritual process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, hearing and chanting and remembering. Hearing and chanting, remember the Lord. So if we want to be tightly connected with the Lord, that can be accomplished by this activity, hearing and chanting, remembering. Because Krishna is his name, Nami Namano. Text 44. Puna Pulinam Agatya Kalindya Krishna Bhavana Samaveta Jagu Krishnam Sadaga Sad Agamana Kankshita. This word is there, Pulinam. There's one song by Bhaktivinoda, Ami Pulinam. Ami Yamuna Pulinam. Pulina means the bank. Yamuna Pulin. When you go to visit Vrindavan, they will take you on Parikrama Vrindavan. And you'll go to Keshigat, and you do, and then after you go through Keshigat, you walk out to a sandy area, That's called Yamuna Pulin. That's the banks of the Yamuna where the gopis were walking during this very pastime. Translation: the gopis again came to the bank of the Kalindi, meditating on Krishna and eagerly hoping he would come. They sat down together to sing of him. Purport. As stated in the Katha Upanishad 1.2.23, Yame Vaisha Vinite Tena Lavya. The super soul can be realized by that person whom he chooses. Thus the gopis fervently pray that Krishna come back to them. It's interesting. This is like we were speaking yesterday about Avaroha Panta and Varoha Panta. Avaroha Panta means the path of Panta, and Avaroha is the ascending path. By my power, by my strength, by my meditation, by my austerities, by my penance, I will ascend I will leave this material world, I will break out of the Brahma Rundra in samadhi of meditation, I will penetrate the Brahma Rundra, crack, the hole in the top of the forehead, and I will leave the top of the forehead and I will go to Swargaloka or even to Brahman. So they're thinking, on my strength I can get liberation. But it's very difficult. Very difficult path, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. The yoga path is very, very difficult and there's no guarantee of success. Whereas in the path of bhakti, the bhakti path is known as Varoha Panta, descending. Ascending process and descending, where the mercy descends. So this purport quoting Katha Upanishad, says that the super soul can be realized by that person whom he chooses. It's like Dhruva Maharaj. He was in the forest, and what was he doing? What was his process? He was doing meditation, but he was not only doing meditation. He was not only a Paramatma yogi. He was meditating in Paramatma, but he was chanting. What was he chanting? He was doing mantra meditation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, is it? So he was chanting the names of Krishna. This is Vaikuntha Nam. Vaikuntha Nam is primary Nam. It's not secondary Nam. It's, what do you call it? Mukhya Nam. Primary Nam. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavan Vasudeva. So he was chanting Nam, and the super soul was pleased with him. And the super soul came out and said, "Here I am." Because he had his eyes closed to meditation. And when he opened his eyes, he saw the very form he was meditating on. Sakshat Darshan, direct, eye to eye. With this body, he saw the Lord. And the Lord touched him with a conch shell. So he's an example of someone that the Lord, if the Lord chooses to show himself to you, then you can see the Lord very easily. So our process is that we try to please the Lord by pleasing Guru and pleasing Krishna. And if he's pleased with our service, then he will reveal himself. The super soul can be realized by that person whom he chooses. Not that I choose. Yes, I want to see you. You must show yourself. Show me God. I must see God. As a materialist to man. But the super soul is an autocrat. He's a transcendental autocrat. He's independent. He's free to do whatever he wants. We move according to his wish. He doesn't move according to our wish. He's the supreme controller. We aren't. He's the Parameshvara. We are the Britya. We are the servants. Ekala Ishvara Britya, Arasabhya. Ekala Ishvara Krishna, Arasabhya Britya. Ekala Ishvara Krishna. There's one, there's only eight Dokshin. Eight means one. There's one controller, that's Krishna. He's the supreme controller of all demigods, of all worlds, of all planets, of all moving and inert things, all atoms, electrons. Everything is moved by the Lord, controlled by the Lord, owned by the Lord, and then for his enjoyment. Lokdaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshridam. Suridam Sarvutanam Yatram Mam Chantam Richati. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse 29, Krishna's explaining. So therefore, if the super soul is pleased, he will move out of the heart and show it. Here I am. So in our case, we're not so eager to see super soul. Oh, that would be wonderful. But when we see super soul in Gurudev, Gurudev is the external representation of super soul. So we're seeing super soul every day. We're seeing our guru every day, so we're seeing him. And not only are we just having darshan, so the yogis have darshan, super soul, but usually doesn't tell them anything. Usually there's not much dialogue, because there's no relationship, there's no sambandha, there's no ras. It's simply kind of a shanta ras at best. He's just observing, oh, the super soul, wow, and maybe some prayers. But in our line is the line of bhakti, the line of bhakti ras. So there's reciprocation, there's dasyam. We want to serve the super soul. And to glorify him and serve him. So when the super soul appeared before Dhruva Maharaj, what did he do? He offered Astang Pranams, he offered Dhanabhas, but then he prayed. He was touched by the conch shell and empowered by the Lord, and he started opening his mouth and offering wonderful prayers. That's called Dasya Raj. It's called servitude. So it's like Hanuman. He's the personification of Dasya Bhav, Ram Dasya Bhav. He's Shuddha Dasya. He's pure Dasya. He's always in a servant mood. He never becomes friendly, he never becomes fatherly. He's just purely serving. So sometimes the other stotras and stutis and prayers also. So this is the devotee that if he were to see the super soul, he would immediately render service. So he's a servant. Daso smi, I am your servant. Dasano, dasano, das. But our desire is not to see the super soul. Our desire is to see Radha and Krishna, Radha Sham, Gornitai, because we worship them with a loving mood of service, a mood of friendship, a mood of conjugal attraction. So many different moods are there. Sakya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav, Madhurya Bhav. The higher rasas of exchange of personal service and personal intimate love. So this concludes chapter 30. And we had some discussion. Now, I think we'll finish discussing the lotus feet, the symbols on the lotus feet of Krishna and Radharani, which we started. And then tomorrow we'll have the class. We'll start on chapter 31. This is called, chapter 31 is Gopi Gita. In the, just as we have the Bhagavad Gita, which is the story of, is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. So in the Bhagavatam, there are five different Gitas. Mahishi Gita. Mahishi Gita is like chapter 80 or 90 or something. It's a conversation of the queens, Mahishi means queens, the Dwarka queens are speaking in separation from the Lord, and they're addressing the osprey, and they're addressing the ocean and the moon, just as the gopis, when they're searching for Krishna in Vrindavan, are addressing the Yamuna and the moon and the mother Bhumi and the deer and all the animals, asking them, you know, have you seen Krishna? So there's the same mood of deeper lumba bhava, separation. So there's the Venu Gita, chapter 21 of 10th canto, where Krishna's Venu means the flute, the song of the flute. The Venu Gita means the song of the flute. What that is the gopis are glorifying the flute, how powerful it is, how it captures our mind. Murli Manohar, with his Murli, he attracts and steals and captivates our mind. Murli Manohar, Mahara means to steal. And then there's the Venu Gita, and now chapter 31 is Gopi Gita. And then there's chapter 35 is the Pranaya Gita. Then there's chapter 47, Brahmar Gita, we call Song of the Bumblebee. Radharani speaks to the bumblebee, chapter 47. So tomorrow we'll start with this called Gopi Gita. And then there's Yuga Gita. Pranaya Gita also called Yuga. Yuga means yoga. Yoga means two. Yuga, like Yuga Rup means Radha and Krishna. Yuga Kishore, Radha and Krishna together. And divine union, divine transcendental love. So this Yuga means join. So Yuga Gita, is that chapter of Bhagavatam, I think it's chapter 35, where the gopis speak pairs of shlokas. That's what it is. One gopi speaks one shloka, glorifying Krishna, and another gopi speaks another shloka. So it goes two, 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 two. So there's 12 shlokas or 14, I forget how many. It's even number because it's Yuga, Yuga Gita. That's what it's called. And also Pranaya, a certain type of prema is discussed. And we'll get to explain all that. Questions? Yeah, I think there's something called Anusharan and Anukaran. There's a term called Anusharan. Anu means following. Like Anugata means to follow. Rupa Anuga, follower of Rupa. Follow the goal of Rupa. Rupa Anuga. That's the. So Anusharan, Anukaran means, one means to follow, to imitate, and the other means to follow in the footsteps. So there's the essence of what he's trying to convey, which is Bhakti, Narada Bhakti Sutras. Narada Bhakti Sutras, which we have in our BBC, is there available. And Tatsumar has made some purports, and Prabhupada made purports in several shlokas. That takes us from Vaidhi Sadhana to Raghunuga Sadhana. That's discussed here. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raghunuga Sadhana. So that's for everyone, for all Bhaktas, Narayan Bhaktas, Vishnu Bhaktas, Krishna Bhaktas. So Narada is giving us that, and it was written down the street here at Naradavan, opposite Kusum Sarovara. It was written there. So those are like following his footsteps. In other words, take the essence of his teaching, but we don't imitate his bhav. We don't want his bhav or his mood, because he's a Narayan bhakta. He worships Lord Narayan. That's his issue today. And we follow when it comes to actual mood and bhav, we follow Rupa Goswami or our Gurudev. But Narada has very important instructions throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. Seventh canto is full of instructions for the various varnas. Brahmachari laws and Gurukul Ivasandante, you know, how to live as a brahmachari, and so many instructions are there. So we follow his instructions and the essence of his teaching, which means following his footsteps, but we don't imitate his particular bhav. Just like Lord Nityananda may be teaching us different things, but we can't imitate him, being avadhut and throw our clothes off in kirtan and all the things that we read about in Chaitanya Bhagavad, you know, avadhut behavior. We can't imitate. He's God and he's an avadhut, and we're whatever we are, conditioned souls, of course. So it is the essence. You want to follow the essence, and not, you always have to keep that in tune with somebody, when you're reading, that we don't take everything. Taking everything means like you imitate in one sense. You take everything. With our Gurudev, we want to take everything. We want his mood, we want his bhav, we want his teachings, we want everything. So he's our link with Narada Muni, he's our link with Shukadev, he's our link with Vyasadev, he's our link with all the Vedas, and he's our link with Radha and Krishna. Because we're in this Gaudiya line, because somehow or other we have the lakshana, or the samskar, or the desire, or wish, to be worshippers and lovers of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So we've come in this line, not Ramanandi line or Sri Sampradaya or some other Sampradaya. So therefore, our gurus are our closest and dearest well-wishers. As Prabhupada would sign his letter, which his Gurudev also signed, Bhakti Sananda would sign his letter, "Your ever well-wisher." Srila Prabhupada would sign his letter, "Your ever well-wisher." Everyone knows this. So some devotees, disciples, they also sign, "Your ever well-wisher," but some people can't appreciate that. They think it's imitating Prabhupada. And we don't do that, but I know some gurus are used to anyway. Because it's a fact, the guru is the well-wisher of everyone. And so that's where we are linked, because then he can explain these things. Oh, you take this from Narada, you take his teachings, you follow his teachings, but we don't want his bhava. Because Narada can't even come into Vrindavan practically. He's on the very outskirts of Vrindavan. He can't go into Ras Lila and so many places like that. So this is the point, that when we're hearing from Dev, we'll hear from Mahadev, all the Mahajans are preaching to us in the Bhagavatam. Svayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishma. That spoke is there with the 12 Mahajans. Bali, Vaya, Sakir, Vayam. So we take the essence of their teaching. Like Bhishma is also preaching. Bhishma Parva, Mahabharata, there's somebody teaching. First canto of Bhagavatam, Bhishma. But we don't want the Bhava of Grandfather Bhishma, Kurukshetra and the whole thing. So that's accept the essence of teaching, but we don't imitate everything. Yes. And in fact, there's a nice thing about Lord Nisringadev. We were mentioning, I think it was maybe in the Vyasa Puja offering a year ago or so, how after we read one book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is available, it's called Navadvip Bhavataranga, which is the back side of a book called Navadvip Damprikma, Pundarik translated. It's got a blue cover in English by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a Prikma guide to Navadvip. But within that, Bhaktivinoda explains how he sees Lord Nisringadev in the Sringapali, how he sees him as very favorable. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's giving us a very nice insight to Lord Nisringadev in that book. And he explains that Lord Nisringadev, he's praying before him that, "Please, my heart is, I am a conditioned soul, my heart is full of greed and anger and lust and envy and calm and crowed and all these things. You please remove these things. You please bestow your mercy upon me and remove these things so that I can become qualified to render loving service to Radha Madhav. And then when I'm praying to you like this, then..." So he says that I'm offering obeisances and lying before Lord Nisringadev and praying like this, "So please, you rip out these anarthas with your powerful claws and enable me to come to the qualification, so I have the adhikar and the eligibility and qualification to render pure loving service to Radha Madhav. So when I'm praying like this, then you will speak to me. Lord Nisringadev, you will speak to me. You will say, My dear child, this is Lord Nisringadev. You just stay here, and you stay in Navadvip, and you live with the devotees, in association of devotees. And you chant the holy name, the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the holy name, everything will be accomplished, and you'll enter into the eternal pastimes of Radha Madhav in the spiritual world, in your spiritual body. So don't be afraid." And so like that. So when I hear these reassuring words from Lord Nisringadev, then I will carry on and very blissfully execute my bhajan to Radha Madhav. Something like this, in paraphrase. So when I read that, I thought, this really fits in nicely, because I don't have so much personal, you know, concern for Nisringabhav or South India or whatever that means exactly, where some devotees are really into Nisringadev, you know, kill the demons. And I mean, the Prophet hasn't given me that, and he introduced Lord Nisringadev in 1973 or something like that. You hear early tapes from 66 and 67, 68, he's talking all about Vrindavan and talking about Radharani and Jayarada Madhav, Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Giri Varidari. So then the temples were attacked, Prabhupada's life was threatened, and there was some upsurge of demonic activities in America. So then he introduced the painting of Lord Nisringadev and this prayer. It was that 7 or 8 years after this time was rolling along, sometimes 2 years. So it has its function, it has its purpose. but it's secondary to the actual goal of our movement. This is the International Society for Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And if Krishna's there, Radharani's there. If Prabhupada established deities, temple, Prabhupada established deities of Radha and Krishna, right? Did Prabhupada establish any temples of Nrisimhadev? Prabhupada, listen tightly, listen clearly. Srila Prabhupada did not install any deities of Lord Nrisimhadev, my dear friend. Haribo. International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We know that we can say. You check up. Mayapur was installed by Bhavananda. I know the whole history of Mayapur. Germany definitely after Prabhupada. Anyway, he installed a painting of Lord Nrisimhadev. The painting of Lord Nrisimhadev is also a deity. Right? Right in front and center when the karmis come. Who's that? Do you have to have such a ghastly scene at the front door? Couldn't you put your friend somewhere else? I mean, that's the first thing I have to see when I walk in. I mean, first impressions are lasting impressions. Haven't you guys ever heard that? Don't you know anything about PR, public relations? You know, you're trying to attract people, right? You're proselytizing. You're out in the streets. You're preaching. You're giving out free food and everything. You want people to come and join and increase your rank. You know, why do you put this in your front door to drive everybody away? No, that's for the demons, you know, we'll kill the demons. So every temple probably put Lord Nrisimhadev front and center. Like that. So we try to see Lord Nrisimhadev and everything through the eyes of the acharyas. Mahajno yena katasa panta. Panta, again, this word panta. Panta means the path. Mahajno yena katasa. The goal, the path. Katasa panta is panta. The golden Mahajans, the great souls. They're pointing in this direction. Rupa Raghunath, Bhakti Siddhanta Gaura Kishore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srila Prabhupada, our own Gurudevs, whoever they are. They're pointing us towards the worship of Radha and Krishna, Vrnitai, Nitya Navadvip, Nitya Vrindavan. This is where we want to go. So we have not much time, so we'll talk on the chapter tomorrow, and we'll finish up on this discussion on Krishna's lotus feet. The triangle is called Trikona. Kona in Hindi, kona means corner. So Trikona means three corners. The triangle has three corners. So that triangle is on Krishna's left foot. On his left foot, in the middle and the lower part, this is described in one purport in the 10th canto in our BBT Bhagavatam. Describes the marks on Krishna's feet, 19 marks on the bottom of Krishna's feet, and 19 marks on the bottom of Radharani's feet. So we're discussing those, and some of our acharyas have given us commentaries to explain those. So we were discussing some things about the triangle. So the acharyas have kind of expanded it, so when we remember the triangle, we can think of the meaning. Okay, so the triangle, the trikona on Krishna's feet, is the amazing. And when we look at it, we see drawings of it time to time. It's a triangle on Krishna's feet. It's surrounded by four water pots on his left foot, in the middle, lower middle of his foot. And we think, well, that's nice. There's a triangle there. Many acharyas like Vishwanath and Sridhar Swami and others, they go out all these long explanations. So it refers to, when we see this, Krishna also bears this mark on his foot to indicate that the three energies, Sri, Bhu, and Leela, are his maidservants. These are, Shri means opulence or beauty, and Bhu means existence or the earth, like we say Mother Bhumi, and Leela means activities and pastimes. So all these things put together are Krishna's energy. Shri means beauty, opulence, wealth, and Bhu means existence, the place of pastime, means some place to exist. It means land or existence or the ground, the foundation. And Leela means the exchange, the actual pastimes and activities of loving exchange in five different rasas. So when you see the triangle, there's a Sri, Bhu, and Leela. And when you go to South India and you visit the Vishnu temples, they say, who are those two ladies on either side? And they say, that's Sri and Bhu, or Sri, Bhu, and Leela. This is South India. Trikona. So Sri, Bhu, and Leela. Then also another thing it refers to is very nice. It means that his Krishna is stepping over the three worlds, Swarga, heavenly planets, Bhumi and Patala, the Bhura Bhuva Swa, with one step in his incarnation as Vamanadeva. When we see the triangle on Krishna's foot, you say, oh, this is Vamanadeva. It represents Vamanadeva. Vamanadeva, he took three steps, right? He's crossed the whole universe and brought in the Ganges. And then it also means that Krishna, his feet, if you remember Krishna's feet, he removes the threefold misery. What is the threefold misery? Adi Atmika means Atma. Atma means body, mind, you know, body, mind, words, my own problems. Adi Daivaka means the devas, cold, storms, natural disturbances. Adi Bhautika means the bhutanams, the other living entities, dogs, mosquitoes, amoebas in our belly or whatever, different problems that come. So then it further signifies that feet may be attained by worshippers by any one of the three methods of sadhana, by bhakti sadhana, by jnana sadhana, by rajya. It also denotes that Krishna never goes anywhere but Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mathura. That's a nice one. You see the triangle on Krishna's feet, you can think it represents the three dhams. What are the three dhams of Krishna? Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. We have all that in our Krishna book, 10th canto. So he only goes those places. Of course, also we understand he never takes a step out of Vrindavan. At least Nanda Nandana Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, Chaturbhuj Krishna, he goes to Dwarka and like that. And Dwarka Krishna has sometimes four arms, sometimes two arms. It's a difference. But in Vrindavan, there's always two arms. And what else? Also, whether one is a sura, a nara, or an asura. What's a nara? Man, like Narahari, right? Narahari means half man, half god, or half lion. So whether one is sura, godly, and nara, a human being, or an asura, a demon, Krishna sees everyone equally and bestows the same bhakti if you approach him. Just like we maybe were demons, asuras, or maybe not even humans or something, but we approached Krishna and he gave us some mercy. Also, Krishna's feet have attracted the fixed gaze of the three eyes of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is always meditating on Sankarshan, the expansion of Lord Balaram, Tattavyuha. He's chanting Ram, 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 and he has three eyes. That's the three cities he's defeated. Killer of the demon in three cities. But Trinayana means there's three eyes. He has three eyes. Trinatra. Trinatra, Lord Shiva. So this triangle represents the three sides of the triangle represent. Lord Shiva is always meditating on him. Now, also on Radharani's feet, in Radharani's case, this mark is on her left foot, and on Krishna's foot, it's on his right foot, called barley corn. Barley corn is like the symbol of harvest. When I pull all the grains together on a field and all they tie them together, it's all these grains together. I believe that's barley corn, right? Yeah. You know, when they're harvesting, they cut all the grains and they pull them together. All the wheat, or usually in the northern countries, they pull the wheat and they stack it together and it forms like a little thing. So there's a mark like that. There's actual lines on Krishna's feet. When he walks on the ground of Vrindavan, that mark is left there in the soil. Radharani's feet and also Krishna's feet. So this signifies that devotees receive all enjoyable opulences and prosperity by serving their feet. It seems like we talked about this. All right, so the altar on Radharani's feet. Radharani has 8 marks on her right foot and 11 marks on her left foot. Krishna has 11 marks on his right foot and 8 marks on his right foot. So the altar, which means Vedi, is on Radharani's right foot. And where is it located? It's located under her last two toes. Pinky toe, whatever you call, on her right foot. And so we know it also means something. It also is a place where you do sacrifices and like that. So this mark proclaims that the sins of those who meditate on Radharani's feet are burned up as if on the altar of sacrifice. So this is actually a fact that meditating on Radharani's feet will burn up sins. It also indicates that just as the universe is nourished by the brahmanas offering fire sacrifices, similarly those who offer their minds in the sacrifice to Radha and Krishna's feet will stimulate universal nourishment that affects all of creation. really esoteric one. What it means is that, what does it mean when they say the universe is nourished by the Brahmanas? So, of course, older devotees will know, but younger devotees may not know, that the universe means the demigods, because the demigods are the controllers of the planets and the elements. The air god, Vayu, and the wind, wind god, air god, and fire god, Agni, and all that. Surya and Chandra, etc. So, the universe is nourished by them, because they're controlling and giving all the things we need, water, sun, and light, and wind. But how do they get their nourishment? They eat the remnants of sacrifice. Where do they get it? From the Brahmanas, on the earth, and also on the heavenly planets. The Brahmanas are doing puja, they're doing yagyas and offering ghee and grain, and those remnants are going to Vishnu, and then Vishnu is distributing Vishnu prasad to all the devatas. So they get their share of the yagya. And we read in Bhagavatam, some demigods are upset they didn't get their share, and big fights and everything. So they depend on that. So there's an interdependence between the Brahmanas and the earth planet and demigods in heaven, these controllers. So the Brahmanas do their work. It's patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dan, pratigraha. Yajan means yajya, yaji, worship. And they do worship and they teach others how to worship. And then demigods are pleased, so they nourish. So that all is related to the altar, the sacrifice, the sacrificial, yajya pit, the sacrificial pit, the altar, they do yajya. So that same symbol is on Radharani's feet. So just as the Brahmins do yajya, nourish the universe, to the demigods, so similarly, someone who offers their mind, we offer our mind instead of offering grains and saying swaha, swaha, we say manas radha, swaha, radha manas swaha, we offer our mind at Radharani's feet. Mana Radha Charan Swaha. We offer our mind at the lotus feet of Radharani as a sacrifice. We offer our mind by thinking of her feet, by carrying out her service, by worshipping her, praying for her mercy. And in this way, as it explains, this will nourish the whole universe. Because if the universe is full of pure devotees of the Lord, they are carrying out the will of Radha and Krishna, someone who dedicates their mind to the service in Radha and Krishna, their mind, their body, and everything, they will please the Lord, Hari Toshnam. And if the Lord is pleased, because he's the root of all creation, he's the source of all the demigods, he's the source of all energy. If Radha and Krishna are pleased with your sacrifice, then the whole universe will be nourished. Everyone will be well fed and prosperous, happy and peaceful. So we need devotees in control. We need devotees in control of governments, like when we had King Prithu here. He was a devotee of the Lord first and primarily. But then he executed all proper kingly duties by worshipping demigods and doing all proper yajnas. And most importantly, he pleased Krishna as a devotee. Prithu pleased Krishna for his incarnation, Shaktivesh. So he pleased the Lord, so the Lord reciprocated with him by ordering all the demigods who are the dependent servants of the Lord. You give Prithu Maharaj and his kingdom everything they need. All the proper rain at the right time, all the proper amount, and all the proper sun, all the proper food and grains and everything, harvest, and no disease, no pestilence, long life, no disease, everything nice. So this is why they're saying that if one offers their mind and sacrifice the lotus feet of Krishna and Radha and Krishna, that will nourish the whole universe and all of creation. Very nice. It's all a little symbol on Radharani's feet. The universe is the form of Krishna, and the offering is the form of Radha. The perfect union is indicated by the mark of the sacrificial altar. Very intimate explanation. Then on the bottom of Radha and Krishna's feet, there's the Ardha Chandra. There's what they call Ardha Chandra. Ardha means half, and Chandra means moon. Just like if one actually knows Shastra, and he knows the proper Vichar, or Sadachar, when he goes to a temple of Lord Shiva, or sees a Shiva Linka, and he goes in the temple, he does Ardha Parikrama. He only does half Parikrama. He actually knows Shastra, and he wants to please Lord Shiva. Half means that Linga is there, and the Yoni is there. You go halfway around, halfway around. Boom, boom, and that's it. You don't go all the way around. With Vishnu deities, Vishnu temples, you go fully around. That's why you can circumambulate the deities inside the temple here, which is old standard, according to Shastra. You can do the temple building. No, you can't do that. But always you do sakura and temple building. In our ISKCON you can do temple building, but you can't do the altar, although it was originally set up that you could do that. You go in one door, you go up a few steps to the door on the back side, and you go along the back of the altar, come out the other door. The other door you end up coming kind of to the kitchen. No, you come to that little reading room, the little room there. You could actually go around deities inside the temple, but they never really instituted that. Anyway. So this mark on Radha and Krishna's feet, the Arja Chandra, symbolizes how Radha and Krishna's feet truly accomplish the desired objectives of the devotees. It signifies that even gods like Lord Shiva have decorated their own heads with the soles of their feet. This is very interesting. Because Lord Shiva, there's some itihas, there's some history behind it, some Puranas, but he wears the moon in his hair. You always see a picture of Lord Shiva. He has his top knot, his yogi top knot of hair, and there's Arja Chandra, there's a half a moon sitting there. And I don't know exactly the story. Something about he's in the... Well, one thing they say, the symbol, I think there's some story how the moon is there, but one thing they say is that he worships Lord Krishna, and Krishna's in the Chandra Vamsha. There's Surya Vamsha and Chandra Vamsha. Vamsha means the family or group, like we say Vamsha, ankle bells of Radharani, right? We have that word Vamsha, means a group of royal swans. Raja Hamsa Vamsa. You know, that last one, 11 shloka we had yesterday. It says that her ankle bells are resounding just like a group of swans, royal swans, their ankle bells in Radharani's feet. So Raja Hamsa Vamsa, Nikmanasi Gaurave, like that. So, the Surya Vamsha, the Lord Ramachandra comes in the Surya dynasty. Krishna comes in the Chandra dynasty, dynasty of the moon god. This is some explanation in Bhagavatam. So Lord Shiva, he's worshipped, he also worships Krishna. He's written Radha Kripa Kataksha in so many prayers. He worships Radha and Krishna. He has regard for them, he worships them. But his name is Sudeva Shankarshan. So he's, when that moon is there in his head, reminds us that he is worshipper, he's coming in this line, he's worshipping also Krishna. So it says here that when we see the moon, half moon on Radharani's feet or Krishna's feet, which is marked there, it represents that even demigods like Lord Shiva are keeping those feet of Radha and Krishna on their heads. So that moon, that you, when you see a picture of Lord Shiva and you see that moon on his hair, you should think, oh yes, this is symbolic of Radharani's feet on Shiva's head. He surrendered his head at her feet. Or he surrendered his head at the feet of Krishna, because that's where the moon is also, from their feet. And it also shows that devotees who likewise decorate